Hey, everybody. Good afternoon again. Back here for the Friday edition of Weather Knots, and glad you're listening in. We've had some great guests this week, and we got another good one today. Max Nunez is here from AWC. Max, you've been at the Aviation Weather Center for how long now?
It's been a quick 4.5 years, Mitch.
Yeah, it's... Doesn't it fly by?
It sure does.
When you're forecasting flight weather, it just flies by.
It does. Mix in a global pandemic in there. Right. And you know.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you came in. We were talking the other night at dinner. You came in. Was it right? Was it just a couple months after
it was
COVID?
2 months before the big shutdown.
Okay.
It was when
just,
I started.
Just before.
So
okay.
I just got my feet wet and was settling in. And then.
Yeah, that's right.
The world shut down.
Yeah, shut down. And it's funny because, you know, of course, when that happens, it's like, who is this new guy, Max, in the office? We don't know. Who is Max? It took a while to figure out who this face was to go with Max.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, everyone went remote for a good while. And I want to say it probably took close to 2 years to meet everyone face to
face.
Did.
Well, Max been a great addition to AWC. So you talk a little bit about, Max, how did you get into weather? Is this something that came later from a kid? Have you always been interested in meteorology?
Oh, it's something that started when I was quite young. Yeah. I would say the big turning point for me was I was maybe 5 or 6 years old and a microburst blasted through my neighborhood.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in southern Kansas City in one of the suburbs, and this microburst flattened a couple of houses a block away or so, and I'm this little kid walking, surveying all the damage with my folks, asking them all these questions. How does this happen? What could have caused this? And they didn't really know all the answers, not being meteorologists themselves. And it kind of that was the starting point, I would say.
You were 5 or so when that happened?
Five or six. Yeah, I think just starting primary school, right around there. Wow. And it just slowly snowballed over time. I would watch the Weather Channel and the cool storm chaser videos. And then once I got into high school was when I got more serious about it and started putting a plan in place to what college to go to, where could I get a degree, and what are the career options. And close to 10 years after, 10 or so years after that point, I guess here I am today working for NOAA and the Aviation Weather Center.
Very cool. So, a lot of people don't, maybe I'm thinking especially of if there's younger people listening or something like that, that they're not really sure what the requirements are going to be a meteorologist.
Mm-hmm.
The common thing is, it's a lot of math, it's a lot of physics, it's a lot of thermodynamics, it's a study of a fluid of the atmosphere. And they kind of figure that out after they get into the program. I'm sure you saw that where you went to school.
Oh, sure.
Was science always something that you were into, or was it just a fascination of the weather? And then you just thought, well, I'll go that. I'm down with all the rest of it too.
Well, I think I was always a science and math kid, just by heart, generally speaking. When the attraction to weather started at a young age, so I guess kind of both. But I mean, I was always a natural. I loved participating in the science fair as a kid, and didn't do anything weather related for said science fair. But just the field of science in general, it paired well with a fascination to meteorology.
Right. Some people go kind of like they're into the IT side. They like programming. There's a lot of careers in the weather service and that as well. You were kind of more the, wow, weather's cool. Let's learn more about how this works.
Absolutely. Weather's cool. I want to figure out why weather happens. I want to figure out how to forecast for it because it's not always the easiest thing to do, right?
Yeah.
And it was the challenge that I always was up for.
Cool.
Cracking the code of the weather.
Yeah, absolutely. You started out in private sector, is that right?
Yeah, I did.
Where did you get your start when coming out of school and stuff?
It was at a private forecasting company based in Kansas City called Weather or Not. And
no, stop it. Weather or Not?
Get it?
Wait, holy cow. This is meant to be. The stars have aligned.
Right. And they were this consulting forecasting company that would be contracted by public works, school districts, construction roofer companies. And we would issue them customized forecasts to help them make their and provide DSS to them. So that and help them make the best decision for their business. And so we would just give them the information, of course, and then they make the decision based off that information. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it was a great I guess springboard, you could say, for me making the transition from academia to operations. Mm-hmm. And it was very localized forecasting in that private sector position I had. So it started there. I was in for 2.5 years or so. And then, you know, the National Weather Service was always kind of my dream job that I had my sights on from high school and the college. So once I had an opportunity and I started bidding for positions, and I was fortunate enough to be offered a tentative job at the Aviation Weather Center, which also happened to be in my hometown.
Yeah,
so
coming back home. Yeah.
Doesn't happen to a lot of folks that start out in the weather service. Often they have to uproot themselves and move around a little bit. Yeah, I got my start in my hometown, so it worked out very well.
So talk a little bit about what you do kind of day-to-day at AWC.
Sure. So day-to-day, I work operations for the domestic branch of the Aviation Weather Center, the whole continental U.S., coast-to-coast forecasting. So that was a transition going from localized surface forecasting to synoptic aviation forecasting. And a little bit of a curve there, but we have a lot of great folks at AWC that really helped along with the training process and getting myself certified to work our hazard desks. And so my day-to-day consists of working these operational shifts on said hazard desks, like the turbulence, the icing desk, the ceiling and visibilities desk, and the convective SIGMET desk. Mm-hmm. And those are the four that I rotate through based on our the schedule rotation. Mm-hmm. And each of those shifts, you know, I come on board, I look at our inherited forecasts, I go through my forecasting process, study the observations, refer to model guidance,
check out some PIREPs and
observations, PIREP reports. We love those, by the way, at the AWC. Yeah. They are very helpful.
By
all means, continue to submit PIREPs to all the aviation community listening here.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have a preference of what desk you like to work?
Oh, sure. Severe weather was always I grew up around it in Kansas City, Missouri. Not quite in the Bullseye Tornado Alley, but certainly get our severe weather there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. And did a lot of that in my private sector position. So the convective SIGMET desk is a favorite of mine. And during convection season, you know, those days fly by real quick.
Yeah.
They do. It's
right. Right. The joke is sometimes you don't get out of your seat for the whole shift, and then you find out what the rest of the world has been up to all around you.
Oh, yeah.
On some of those days.
Valid.
Yeah. Yeah. What other maybe projects or interests have you had as you've kicked off your career at AWC?
Well, pretty shortly after I got spun up at my position, I started working on case studies with a couple colleagues of ours there. And one in particular, the most common case study that I've really looked into have been the severe turbulence episodes that we'll see, and particularly over in the West there, we get a lot of that clear air turbulence,
mountain wave,
lot of that, and I've made it a point to, since getting spun up there, to crafting together some of these case studies and collaborating with my colleagues and essentially putting together training material to, you know, you look at this at the atmospheric setup, what happened, what caused it, and then and it helps you, and it's helpful to have that information for as time goes on for future severe turbulence outbreaks. So I was kind of telling you, I think, or the other day there, that we link up and we coordinate these tag ups with the local CWSU offices, the Central Weather Service Unit offices around, and typically it's quarterly that we'll organize that,
information, right? Kind of part training, part just sharing. Those case studies can be insightful.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah.
So we'll for instance, over in the West there, we'll tag up with the Denver, CWSU, Albuquerque, and Salt Lake, and we'll have a case study. Sometimes they'll have one to share, and we talk about what happened, and I mean, just sharing knowledge and experience. And it's been very helpful. I think I learned a lot more about turbulence in the few months I worked on that. Compared to just working the desk, you know.
Right. In the end, it helps you with your forecasting, doesn't it? Get out a better product.
Absolutely.
Well, it's been great having you on, and it's interesting to hear about some of the stuff you're working on, some of the collaboration that's happening at AWC, and so thanks for sharing that with us.
Oh, yeah.
Really appreciate it.
It was my privilege to be here today. I'm excited to see Oshkosh in person for the first time this year.
Just got in yesterday, right?
Yep.
Yesterday's your first full day, so you're getting the second half of the show here. Well, I hope you continue to enjoy it.
Yep.
Yeah, awesome.
It's been great.
Awesome. Thank you, Max, and we'll wind it up there. We'll see you tomorrow. We got one more episode of Weather Knots tomorrow, so until then, have a great one.